Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the Three Donkeys podcast. This is just a quick technical note to let you know that the next few podcasts are not going to have the best audio quality in the world. It turns out there was an issue unbeknownst to us involving the microphones that left the raw footage, let's call it, less than perfect. So we decided to put the shows up anyway, and we hope that you can forgive us and that you can turn up the volume and hopefully make it work. So, again, we apologize, and here's the show.
Hello and welcome to the Games with Garfield podcast. My name is Tyler Bielman. I'm here with the illustrious Scaff Elias.
Hello.
And the magnificent Richard Garfield.
Hello.
And today's podcast is brought to you by Hell or High Watermelon Wheat Beer. Wheat beer fermented with watermelon with added watermelon juice. Fantastic stuff.
Truly nasty.
Truly, truly nasty. And
I would say unequivocally it's the worst beer I've ever tasted.
Yeah, and for the record, we are planning on doing a drinking show at some point. However, this will not be what we are drinking. Can we say that definitively?
Yeah, I don't think you can get drunk on that.
Oh, I think you could.
I think you would throw up long before you got drunk.
Richard takes a nice big pull off of it. There you go.
For the record, the purchaser was Richard Garfield.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a sucker for the unusual, and when they put up something like watermelon beer in the aisle, I'm bound to pick it up as an impulse purchase.
Old Scab beer.
Bubblegum elixir. Yeah. I might have gotten that, too.
It does say alcohol 4.9% by volume, which seems high for a beer. Am I wrong about that?
Some beers are that high.
That is high. That's higher than I would have expected.
Especially for like a wheat beer.
And my favorite part is there's in a little green ring around the top of the can. It says yeast inside, agitate before opening. And I can say I'm sufficiently agitated, personally. So we're in good shape. Today's topic, we were going to break down a game. And we've decided that game is what, Scaff?
Scrabble.
Yes, we're going to break down Scrabble. We're going to talk about it a little bit. Richard, you're fond of Scrabble, right?
I think Scrabble's one of the best games ever.
Very good. And do you know who... We didn't prepare anything. Do you know who is credited as the inventor of Scrabble?
I do. Now, is that... Can I recall that and say it, or will I just recognize it? His name begins with an A.
His first name does begin with an A.
And Alfred? Alfred, that's right. Alfred Butz.
Now, there's no need to be crude. No, Alfred Mosher Butz, according to Wikipedia. Alfred
I got
Butz.
It?
Yeah, no,
yeah,
you get
it. Is Butz.
I mean, Mosher's in there, which is a pretty good middle name if your last name is Butz.
I didn't know the Mosher part.
Alfred Mosher Butz.
I needed the Alfred, though.
You got a year for me? A year on Scrabble?
50-something.
40-something.
47.
According to Wikipedia, the first incarnation, which was not called Scrabble, he put together in 1938, and it looks like there were various it looks like there were various incarnations until 1952 when the president of Macy's played it on a vacation and came back and made a huge order and then sort of pulled it into the mainstream. But it went under different names, crisscross words, and
so it wasn't really marketed under the name Scrabble until the early 50s.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. So I've not played a lot of Scrabble, but do you want to break down the standard game and some of the more common tactics in playing Scrabble?
Sure, that sounds exciting.
Well, we can do it quickly. I mean,
No. It's for those of you who do not know how Scrabble's played. Each person has 7 tiles from a total of 100. Is it 100 or 102?
Each game contains.
I think that's probably not
100 tiles.
Yeah,
well, it's also
I'm just testing
quiz.
My memory.
Yeah, it's a quiz of Richard Garfield.
The first person lays down a word which is 2 or more letters long, and then each person in sequence keeping their rack filled out to 7 puts down a word on the board which can cross one or more of the other words, and you play until the bag of tiles is depleted, and that's the game of Scrabble.
And I know that when I've played with people who are sufficiently advanced Scrabble players, they tell me that it kind of, a lot of it comes down to two-letter and three-letter words. Is that something you guys...
And seven-letter words.
Yeah, seven-letter words are very, very important because you get the bingo bonus, the 50-point bonus, and so the twos and threes are very, very important, but when you talk with advanced players about their strategies, all about balancing their rack, trying to get the seven-letter words, and then closing the board down once they have them.
One thing I need to interject every time I have a Scrabble discussion with Richard, there really are two different games of Scrabble. One is when two people are playing, and the other is when more than two people are playing. It's just night and day, the difference. And oftentimes we'll have a discussion about Scrabble and then pause, and Richard will be like, oh, yeah, but not if two people are playing. So.
Can you give us an example of one of those attributes that are different if you're talking about a two-player game versus a three or more player game?
Sure. When you talk to advanced Scrabble players, they don't even regard Scrabble as being a game for more than two players. But the casual player certainly does. If you play with a family, if you sit down to a family game of Scrabble, certainly there's going to be three or four people playing. But when you play with three or four people, and one of the players is weak, for example, they may set up the person to their left every single time, and that can be frustrating for the other players. If they're all about the same level and they're all just putting down whatever they see as being their biggest score, it's a perfectly fine game. But the advanced player will be kind of frustrated with this difference between playing to the left of Aunt Sally and playing to the right of Aunt Sally.
And by setting up, you mean enabling the person to get the triple word scores and such, correct?
Yeah, or...
Or just leaving them good letters.
Right. It's a lot leaving open, you know, opening up the triple words and things like that, but then just giving them good hooks to use their letters.
And it's especially important in a casual game because the board in a casual game can get tight enough where it's difficult to play. If you're a better player and you know all the stupid two-letter non-words, then you've got a lot more ability to play in tighter situations.
So, is there in your mind, what's the mix of offensive and defensive play in Scrabble? Is that a delineation that you would make, or is there a basic strategy?
Well, for casual play, it's very offensive because. Any points you give away, you're only giving away to one of your opponents. And so typically then it doesn't pay to be all that defensive. But in a two-player game, it's going to be much more balanced in that regard. Although in two-player games, when you talk about it, like when I was a pretty good player, I usually played to make the board really nasty. And
you mean like words like fart?
Make it so it was really difficult to really difficult for people to play words, and since then I've talked to enough advanced players to realize that's probably actually not a very good strategy. That what you want to do is be opening the board up if you have confidence in your ability to make seven letter words, and then if you see a big word, make it, even if it opens up the opportunity for your opponent to really come back at you hard.
And have either of you ever? I know that it's in a lot of different languages. Is that right? I believe that's true.
It is definitely in a lot of different languages. The world championships are all in English, and in fact, there are some people in the world championships who don't know English, but they know Scrabble English. They've just got the words memorized,
which would make them the opposite of me.
Which would also, I'd imagine, in conversation with them, there's a lot of two-letter words that they would be speaking. So have you ever played in a different language?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought there might be the case.
English is the official international championship standard, so why would I play in a different language?
Good point.
I'm not good enough with any other language to play in another language. It would be just frustrating for me.
I think if you played in maybe Latin and I played English, we might be about on the same level, is my guess.
I doubt that.
What about, so you mentioned briefly about sort of world championships and tournament play. What are the differences between the version you play when you crack the box with your Aunt Sally and when you go and play at the highest levels?
None.
There's no difference? I mean, my understanding is there's a clock, right? And there's a
You mean difference for actual rules?
Or what are the formats of the tournament?
The tournament will involve a clock, certainly, and it will always be two player. Whereas when you crack it with Aunt Sally, she's probably going to want to wrangle.
I like to crack it with Aunt Sally.
Yeah, well, who doesn't? She's probably going to want to wrangle some of the cousins into the game. Another difference you might often see with casual players is often they don't play with the challenge rule, where in Scrabble, if I put down a word and you don't believe it's a real word, you can challenge me, and if it is a word, then you lose your turn. If it isn't a word, then I lose my turn. And casual players often ignore that rule, and what they do is they allow dictionary access, or they allow people to take it back if it isn't really a word, things like that. And in fact, that's almost formalized in computer play. It's kind of rare to find a computer game where you can put up which allows challenges. Most of them, if you try to put up a word that isn't a word, it'll just say that's not a word, and you try to put up another word.
That seems to change the dynamic a little bit. I mean. And you say in tournament play, they don't have the challenge rule? It just doesn't exist?
In tournament rule, they do. It's a big part of it. Casually, it is less often. In the computer, it's not
used very. We always played with it. We had a lot of cheaters in our family.
Not surprised.
Well, my family didn't.
I should have played with your family.
What about you?
Well, my father used this, the old OED, and as the reference, and he used all the variant spellings, and so it was insanity.
So there was cheating, I mean, of a sort.
Well, the rules allow you to use whatever dictionary you all agree to ahead of time, and that was the rule. There were just ridiculous words that he would have, like at one point, vapor, VAPOUR, and so I thought the only hook there on the end, the only letter you could extend it with, was S, vapors. And then he really wanted to put down his seven-letter word, and so he looked it up, and sure enough, you could put vapored, VAPOURD, because under the variants in the OED, every word is in the OED.
Can you use that in a sentence? Can I get vapored in a sentence? I'm not sure.
The patient has vapored now with...
Meaning they have the vapors?
You can begin sawing.
Exactly.
Excellent.
And this choice of dictionary is really actually pretty interesting. I know that when I played with my my grandmother at one point, I put down the word byte, BYTE, which of course is a word.
Sure.
And my grandmother challenged it because she wasn't too computer savvy. And we began looking up in the dictionary, and I realized that the dictionary was so old that it was unlikely to be there.
Oh, yeah, see?
There was a possibility, it turned out not to be the case, but the possibility that byte was formally used in some other capacity, so I followed through, and it wasn't there. But then I looked up...
Okay.
Then I looked up airplane, and that wasn't there either. This was a really old dictionary, and it became a sport in the family to using this dictionary to try to figure out what would be there and what wouldn't.
Gotcha, that's awesome.
I was going to say, didn't the dictionary that we had in the lab in R&D didn't have airport in it? It had aerodrome, but not airport.
Oh, was that was that little blue dictionary?
The little blue dictionary.
The one I took to college. Yeah, that was pretty old too. Yeah. It wasn't as old.
Because they had aerodromes.
And my grandmother's house, somebody played calculator, and somebody else, it was a stranger who played calculator, and one of the family challenged them because, of course, they didn't have calculators back when this dictionary was made. But they did have people who calculated, and so the word was okay.
It was a profession.
I'm a calculator, see? That's interesting. So... you guys mentioned apparently you guys played years ago. Did you used to play regularly in this lab you speak of? Tell me more of the little blue dictionary in the lab.
Oh, well, that wasn't in reference to Scrabble that we were looking up airport.
Oh, it wasn't?
No.
Okay.
You sure?
I just wanted a definition of it.
Oh, okay. Scrabble play has entered my life and gone out of it from time to time. Oftentimes, it'll in my family they'll play occasionally. My sister is currently very into it. She's gotten pretty serious. My father's always enjoyed the game.
The problem with me is that it's always been, you know, I've either played in a family setting or it's been too serious. A lot of people at Wizards of the Coast read Word Freak. Have you ever read
sure.
Word Freak? And got really into Scrabble.
Stefan Fatsis? Is that the author?
It'll be in the show notes. The link will be in the show notes.
And at any rate, and that's a great book. It's an awesome book. And that really got them playing pretty seriously at a level much beyond where I could play. And that self-same book kind of made me not want to play Scrabble at all. So.
Right.
Although one of the interesting things in that book is he pointed out very early before he began his serious play of Scrabble, the book is sort of about his journey into the world of serious Scrabble play. He played...
I would say the abyss of serious Scrabble play.
He played against...
It's 20 points? Abyss? A, B, devil word?
I don't know. He played against... somebody who was very good, one of the champions, and he said, "Oh, I've got no chance." And the other guy said, "Oh, you've always got a chance." And he actually won that game, and it was that point I actually thought about Scrabble and realized it had that quality which I really like in games, that there is a hell of a lot of skill. Obviously, there's a lot of skill, but there are those S's and those blanks, and getting a good vowel mix and a vowel to consonant mix. There's a lot of luck too.
Right, and we, in a previous podcast, went through the value of randomness. So you're saying in Scrabble, you think it has that nice sweet spot we talked about before, high degree of skill and enough randomness to make it... I mean, it does seem like you couldn't play with an 8-year-old and expect that there's enough randomness to equal...
No, you need some basic vocabulary. I think...
Right. Scrabble's kind of medium, I think, in that regard. It is not at the... It's not at the end where anybody can beat anybody. You know, it's not like a hand of poker or something, but it's certainly got a lot in there.
Oh, it's definitely got a lot of skill. The luck part, I think, though, that it's viewed as having less luck than there is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so
it's probably not viewed as having less skill than there is. There's a lot of skill. And some of it's really awful skill. Like it's really painful. The idea that you have to memorize the most common 7-letter words and things like that, and that's just analogous to memorizing openings in opening book in chess, right?
Yeah,
that's the point where a lot of people go away from the game seriously, is where they realize they can't play by intuition anymore, they can't innovate on the spot, they've got to sit down and study lists of words.
And obviously we touched on the fact that in a previous podcast, we even talked about the transliteration of board games into the digital medium. And if there's an onboard dictionary, you know, I would assume you could just trial and error your way to longer words by creating them and letting the computer tell you whether they're legal or not. I haven't played much online Scrabble. Is that how that works?
Well, I'm sure there's lots of different Scrabble sites and ways to do it, but certainly the ones where you can... just recently we were playing Scrabble on the DS. I got it and my family was playing it, and yeah, once we realized you could just put down whatever word you liked and the computer verified it or not, it would allow you to say, I wonder if this is a 3-letter word, and put it up, and if it allowed you to do it, then said, oh, now I can use this as a hook for my 7-letter word or something like that, which of course in a real game would be a risky move because the other person might challenge the word you've got verified through the computer play.
Also, a lot of people play online now, and it's hard to verify if someone else is cheating or not, so I think it's probably why some of these programs just tell you.
Meaning that the other guy could be sitting there with a dictionary.
Right,
on
so
the other
why, side. Shouldn't, why shouldn't...
When you're not in the same room, yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever seen an AI play Scrabble?
Sure, I played against the computer.
And how does that work? I mean, if the computer has an infinite vocabulary, do you know how the algorithm works to keep it, like, interesting?
Well, first of all, it's not as simple as having an infinite vocabulary for the AI. I suspect that would do very well, but I really don't know if that would beat the best Scrabble players. Like, you might need to program a little bit of strategy into it.
And yeah, definitely would.
In order to maximize your chances of getting picking up bingos later on. I would find it hard to believe that the best Scrabble AI couldn't beat people. I would think it would crush them. But you it's not as simple as just throwing in the infinite dictionary.
No, the you take the parts which are easy to do with the AI is to give it a dictionary and have it play the greedy algorithm, put down the biggest amount of points
right.
It can get every turn. And that'll get it, that'll do okay. But you have to go further than that to make it so that it will even beat, you know, me with any consistency, and I'm no top level player. But probably the amount of programming beyond that is not that big as I mean that's one of the reasons why the game is still fun, even though it's so important to have a good vocabulary. It's more about balancing your rack and managing the board than getting the best score every time.
So mechanically, is there anything about the normal Scrabble game that you would change or that you don't like, or aspects of the game that through the lens of a game designer that you look at and say, oh, this, you know, this might not be optimal, or house variants, or anything you've done to tune up your Scrabble experience?
Garfield garbage. That would be good.
Yeah, there's a Garfield garbage is a technique.
It's not very nice. First of all, I don't know.
It's a technique that can be applied to almost any game, where you remove a random amount of tiles from the bag, or maybe you throw in two bags worth of tiles and take a handful of them out. So you're not exactly sure what letters are coming up. You never are 100% positive in the end play, you know, what's in the other person's rack or what hasn't shown up yet.
So in normal play, are you at the level where you look at your rack, you look at the board, and you're making a calculation about what you think the other person has? Because I'll tell you, I don't play like that.
At my best, I certainly did that fairly well. But even casually, of course, you do that with like the Q and the Z or something
sure.
like that. Towards the end, you know the other person's got the Q. You don't want to give them any hooks for the Q to get rid of it because it's a lot of points for you at the end.
And so Garfield garbage is designed to...
Garfield garbage can be applied to a lot of games. Card games, Carcassonne, we used Garfield garbage. Any game which has where there's a set of cards or tiles which people have a big advantage for memorizing. If you play with twice that number of tiles or cards, and then you only play half of them, then that throws all that calculation out the window.
Now, part of the problem with Scrabble is you have to be a little bit careful. I don't think you can throw in two bags worth of tiles and remove half of them, because that would be I think you'd run a risk of getting a lot of unplayable.
Well, you could
tile mixes there.
Wouldn't it extend the game too? Because the tiles are also
because you're throwing away half of them. We're only
I thought you were throwing
tiles
half of the
second.
But like
but
on a computer, for instance,
what you might do, I was going to say, is you could play with a 200 bag tile, and a 200 tile bag.
Watermelon.
Yeah, crack open another for me. Another play with a 200 tile bag. And you play until you've played 100 of those tiles, and then you wouldn't have that problem, because if you have a bad rack, you could throw it in and get
right.
a new mix or something like that.
Excellent. So any other variations or any other, again, more, I'd like to speak to the mechanical end of it a little bit, you know, before we get into variants too far.
I've played a bunch of variants. I think the original game is brilliant, really doesn't need much changes. I mean, I like to Garfield garbage just about any game, but
Well, I'll tell you, I've had raging fights with girlfriends back when I had girlfriends about just sitting around waiting for somebody to make a play.
Oh, the time thing?
Just downtime in the game. Yeah.
I mean that happens with any two player game. I mean, you just gotta agree to something. That's gonna happen with a girlfriend.
Adding a timer is a good idea to a lot of games. The downtime in Scrabble is kind of interesting in that with a two-player game, if you're playing reasonably seriously, you don't really experience much downtime, because while the other person's moving, you're thinking about what words you can make. With three and four people, you've got a lot of extra time, because you've got to wait for each of the other players, and the board changes more, which means that my thinking during the first person's move might be much more wasted than in a two-player game. But
it's a lot like chess in that regard, except for the three and four
player. Three and four player, yeah.
In that, you know, if you talk to a really good chess player and you ask how much downtime there is, you know, of course they're going to say none because they're thinking to the person's turn. But for a casual player, there's quite a bit, and so it is a little. It is something inside Scrabble which shifts the two-player game more toward serious play, because it's actually a much better game for serious players than non-serious players, because your downtime goes from quite a bit, or whatever your clock is set at, to zero, which is a nice little bonus if you're really able to think a lot on your opponent's turn.
I know I played a variant called Speed Scrabble, which didn't use the board at all. Are you familiar with this variant?
Not at all.
No.
So Speed Scrabble is all the tiles are face down in the middle, and you pull a hand of seven and you flip them up, and you're playing face up, and what you're playing is visible, and you are creating your own grid of words. And
is it a marketed product?
It is now. It's
because
now marketed
just
as
like that.
Bananagrams, but it was originally just Speed Scrabble, and Bananagrams took the rule set, took the tiles, put it in a banana, and called it Bananagrams, even though bananas have nothing to do with the game, so I find that to be offensive to a degree. But in any event, you play the words, you're making your own grid. When you've used all your tiles, you say go, or in Bananagrams you say, I think it's peel, and then everybody grabs
you
one
do
more.
Not.
I believe in Bananagrams that you say peel. Everybody grabs one more tile to add to their grid. You can re-scramble your words at any time, so you're not locked into your grid. You just have to use all
that's
of your
right,
tiles.
That's right.
And then when the last person, you know, says go, and the last tiles are grabbed, the first
Wait,
person
what
to
do they say?
Peel. The first person to complete their grid with all of their letters is the winner. So it's I find it to be
they get to split.
I think they say split, yeah. Or there's a rotten banana. I don't know. All I know is here's what happened. I played Speed Scrabble, and I thought, this is a great game, but I don't see any way to market it unless you make a couple of interesting tiles that do kind of have a special ability. Then I see Bananagrams, and it's all over the place, and it's just Speed Scrabble called Bananagrams and sold in a felt banana. And
nope.
Then I stomped around a while, and then 2 weeks later, I go into a game store, and what do I see? Scrabble Apple. Scrabble sees this Bananagrams things and decides, you know what the key to this is? Fruit.
when you play Bananagrams, do you actually say peel?
I've never played Bananagrams.
Oh.
I've played Speed Scrabble, and then it was marketed. Anyway, that made me mental when I saw Scrabble Apple.
I've run into Bananagram tiles in a lot of places. I think that my impression is that they've sold a lot to parents who are trying to get their kids to use letters. I don't know.
All I know is you put it in a fruit bag, and apparently that's what matters. So, anyway, I would recommend Speed Scrabble, and we'll put a link to the rules in the show notes. I had a good time with
that.
It's not Scrabble, really. I mean, but it's fairly enjoyable.
Another common variation is to replace the very minor, much more minor than the Bananagrams, but one which is sort of analogous to free parking in Monopoly, just sort of common house variant, is replacing the blanks. Do you either of you two play with that? Where if there's a blank down there and it represents an A, you can replace it with an A and get the blank.
Yeah, I've heard of it. I've never actually played with it. You?
No.
Yeah, it's I tried to do it to my playing with my grandmother, and she nearly hit me.
with an old dictionary.
She should have. There's also Upwords. Have you guys played Upwords?
I've played Upwords.
Upwords is a very cool, variation on Scrabble, but a very cool game, which is Scrabble-like.
Yeah, let's talk about Scrabble-like games. You got Upwords. You got Boggle, right? Boggles.
Scrabble-like, if we talk about it as a word game, of course, Boggle is in the same family of word games. In Upwords, you're actually making a crossword grid,
right.
Whereas in Boggle is a word search game. Yeah.
Any other variations or?
Wizards of the Coast put out Alpha Blitz.
Alpha Blitz, that was a selling card game, right?
Quiddler recently has been something my family's been playing. It's like a word rummy, which there have been word rummies around forever, it seems. I've got a bunch of them in my game collection. It was fun to play, but I pointed out to them that it wasn't very rummy like. You got dealt your hand, and then you just go out.
Okay.
I mean, so you wouldn't like draw a card, discard a card, draw a card, discard a card, draw a card, discard a card. Oh, I can go out. Everybody would always go out immediately, or the next person would go out. I began to think that maybe it was because our two-letter word vocabulary was too good.
Was there no player interaction, or am I missing a piece of this?
There really wasn't, in the way we were playing. Now, if it was played the way it was intended, where it was more like rummy, where you would discard and the other person could pick up from the top of the deck of your discard, then you wouldn't want to be discarding high-letter cards,
right,
because your opponent couldn't take, you know, pick them up. But there was very little of that.
It seems like there's a game there, though, if it's not already made. I mean, I like that idea.
Yeah,
I don't remember how Alpha Blitz plays, sadly, but
Alpha Blitz had a pretty cool concept.
I forget it, but because it was 10 years since I played it, or more since I played it last. But I remember it was good. I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a couple of one variation I played, which was kind of interesting, that I made up. We played. It was on an internet play where, what was it? We allowed the person who was making the words full access to the dictionary, but we made it so the person challenging the words couldn't access the dictionary. And so this was very peculiar because it switched the balance of power. It made it so that, so I was playing with Jim. So I would put, you know, if I put down a word like rhythmatoids, R-H-Y-T-H-M-A-T-O-I-D-Z or whatever, and he looks at this thing as though would, and I he would know that I knew whether it was a word or not, and would I have the guts to sort of put it down knowing that. So
it adds to the bluffing,
right?
And
so it made it more of a bluffer.
Do you play, I mean, when you've played Scrabble, is there a high bluffing element to it, or do you generally just play to your knowledge?
There should be a lot of bluffing, in general, unless you've got enough knowledge that you're actually a good player.
Like, what percentage of the time in a casual game with your peers would you try to bluff a word through?
I would think almost every game.
So at least once in a game.
Yeah. Not.
You, Scath?
Like I said, I haven't really played competitively. Back when I was playing casually, I would do it a fair amount.
I mean, of course, when the division between a bluff and not, I mean, typically when I would make a word which I was bluffing, it would be something which I hope is a word.
It's a semi-bluff.
It's pretty rare I put down a word which I know isn't a word and hope that other people don't challenge it. But certainly I would. I just heard a great story about a game. Don Woods, I think he was the creator of Colossal Adventure, playing Scrabble, where he put down a word and said, "I'm playing doing for 20 points." And the opponent said, "Doing isn't a word." And challenged it and looked it up in the dictionary and found it in the dictionary and was a...
oh my gosh.
And was very surprised to find that it was there, and then realized that if you pronounce it doing, that it actually is a word. I think there's a chance.
Yeah, but he pronounced it doing.
I think there's a chance I would have fallen for that, because when I look at the word doing and somebody says doing, it kind of hijacks my mental.
All I know is exactly what the show notes are going to say right now. I got it worked out. So doing. Would you have fallen for doings?
Yeah. No chance.
There's a chance I would have. I certainly, when the person was telling me the story, I was able to figure it out, but only because it was the context of the story. It's really hard for me to tell whether I would have fallen for it. And I know that when I looked at the word, I said, wow, that does look like doing, doesn't it?
That's good. Do you have any other personal, like, big play stories? Do you remember, like...
My biggest play was Tsarina's. And I went from triple to triple. So I've got one triple to triple play. So that was 9 times.
Nice.
That's pretty solid.
You got nothing like that?
No. Was there a Z in your Tsarinas?
No, it was
TS.
TS. I wish it was Z.
Oh. Yeah, that would have been...
Dare to dream. any guesses on the highest single play in the OSPD tournament?
In the tournament?
Yeah. A record. There's a record in the... and I guess this is the... using the North American list, the official North American list, highest single play.
Well, there's some ridiculous word which wasn't really ever done. Well, it was done, but it was like a manufacturing. It was like a 15-letter word, and it was obviously a very, very artificial play where they had to play cooperatively to get it.
Is that
what this is?
This is not. I mean, I'm just going by Wikipedia, so...
So
who knows? But it's an 8-letter word.
Okay. That sounds very legit.
Michael Cresta... In 2006, highest single play, in according to the official North American list, Quixotry for 365 points.
Oh, that's as much as I score in a game. the word I'm thinking of, I think I ran across it in an online environment where it kept track of the highest point word that everybody had played. And it's like all the top players had played this one 15-letter word.
Colluding.
Yeah, exactly. Colluding the whole way, getting it so that, and they got some insane number of points. And I've got a friend that plays a really wacky version of Scrabble called Clabbers, which is an anagram of Scrabble, which is appropriate because this is Chip. Chip plays Clabbers.
It's also a sexually transmitted disease among cattle, isn't it?
Well, you would know. So I'll take your word on that, Mr. Lat.
So with Clabbers, you're allowed to put down any anagram of a word.
So, really?
So you could put down DGO, and that means dog or god, whatever you want. And so if I put down DGO, and you couldn't figure out what I was meaning by that, you could challenge me, and I could say... dog. And of course with words like DGO it's easy, but once you start throwing down 7-letter words and getting bingos and they're cross, he says that are commonly 5x5 blocks, they play with like 50% more tiles on the board because the board is so dense. And he said he talks about these games where they throw down things and you're looking at it and you can't even figure out what word you think you're challenging. Because
right.
You don't know. Eventually, if you challenge, and he says that that he bluffs like the amount of bluffing in the game is very high.
Really?
Because there's a good chance somebody's going to look at that mess of letters and go, oh, well, obviously that's squids. And you're like, oh, yeah, shit. Yeah, that's what I meant. Uh-huh. That's exactly what I was putting down right there.
Right. And if they challenge you, you got to figure it out. But, maybe they won't.
Yeah, maybe they
maybe
won't.
They'll see it. My
rack is hard enough to decipher without... thinking about it in that way.
That's, your rack is hard.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Thanks for... this has been another podcast in the books. My name is Tyler Billman, and signing off, Scaff Elias.
Goodbye.
And Mr. Richard Garfield.
Goodbye.
Until next time, may all your words be bingos.